All right, so we're holding on Vav on the day 12 lines from the bottom, line against Kobe of Judah. We mentioned on the earlier on the Omud, we started mentioning something that Rachelboy said in the end of Rabhuna. We started with about the importance of having an established place for davening and how a person who does that is following in the footsteps of Abraham and Hashem will help him like Abraham. So then that led to a bunch of other statements. So we started quoting some other statements that Rachelboy said in the name of Rabhuna. Some of them also having to do with davening and some of them having to do with other topics. The Gemara says, V'omer Rachelba Omer Rabhuna. Kol anan in the suda chasan, a person who enjoys a suda of a chasan, so a wedding meal, the ene misamcha, and he's not misamech chasan v'kale, doesn't make them happy, over b'chamisha kolos. He's violating five kolos in the sense that, like, violating, as in, like, he's treating casually, he's treating disrespectfully five kolos that are mentioned in connection with a chasan. Shenem a kol chasan, b'kol simcha, kol chasan, b'kol kala. We say this, of course, in the name Brachas, in Sheva Brachas, but it actually comes from a pasuk in Yirmiya. And the fifth one is Koil Omim Hodu Es Hashem Tzvachos. So five times in the pasuk it mentions Koil. Koil Semcha, Koil Sassim, Koil Sassim, Koil Semcha, Koil Chassim, Koil Kala. Koil Omim Hodu Es Hashem. No, they're all in the same pasuk. All those five are back-to-back in the same pasuk. So five times it says Koil, so a person who enjoys the Suda of the Chassim Makala and does not make them happy is being careless, is being disrespectful of those five Koilists, which Hashem benched the Jewish people with. The Im Samchoi, Ma'aschoroi, so on the other hand, he is Misameach the Chassim Makala. What is his Schar? Omra Bishoma, maybe Zoycha the Torah Shenitim Machamisha Koilist. In return, then, if he is Mishameach, then he's Zoycha to Torah, which was also given with five kolos. Shenema, by Mishlishi B'yoytza Boker, it says on the third day of the day of preparation for Matan Torah, when it was in the morning, by he kolos of Rakim, there were kolos, two plurals, the two kolos, of Rakim, there was sounds and lightning, but on them covered Alahar and a heavy cloud on the mountain, the kol shofar of Bema, and the sound of a shofar, so far we're up to three. Then the next pasuk says, Vayhi kol ha-shofar of Bema, the sound of a shofar was going louder and louder, and the pasuk finishes off, for Holy King Yanin of a kol, Hashem answered Moshe with a voice. So we see that five times also it says kol. So corresponding to the five kolos by Chos and Kala, so therefore a person who is Mesameh Chos and Kala is Zoycha to those. So the Gemara asks, Any, is that so? There are only five.
The comparison between
So one comparison, actually, there was a mimer that begins with these words, kol anana, which the Friedrich Rebbe said at the Rebbe and the Rebbe's wedding, where we talked about the idea that a person who's mesameach, a person, first of all, obviously, I mean, on a simple level, it means a person has good midas. It means that he's not just enjoying the party, he's also, you know, he's also doing his part to make it that those who made the party, the chasen and kala, are happy. But in any case, in the mimer over there, he discusses the idea of pnimius and yonim, that there's also the chasen and kala represent abba v'ima, represent chochma and bina, represent zohar and malchus, whatever, and therefore by being sameach them, and therefore bringing those high things down here to earth, he makes his Torah, that when he learns Torah afterwards, it's clearer and brighter because of what he accomplished in avodas aburim. Because of what he accomplished in Avoda, and therefore the expression Zoicha means that his Torah now is clearer and brighter, and then has more of an effect on his neshama and on the world around him.
Are you saying as a general principle that the math integrity that we do is actually to enlighten us in learning Torah?
One purpose of it, yes, because it makes a person's neshama clearer and brighter. It makes it that he's doing the mitzvahs. That way, in particular, yeah, that way, especially something which it may not be so easy to do, yeah, it helps clean up his neshama, and that way it improves the level of his learning Torah. Why five koilos? There's one thing. Well, but also there's a maimer of the Alter Rebbe and the old Paracher and whatever that talk about the five kolos that are also associated. First of all, there's the idea in that maimer, the Friedrich Rebbe, I think he talks about the idea that the five kolos is associated with the fact that you have heimut soi tape, you have five different places of articulation in the mouth that produce the 22 letters of the alephate. So there is that. We talk about all over Siddhis, hei chsodim and hei gloris. But also in some other Maimarim, it talks about the idea like you have five levels. You can talk about five levels that get you from Hashem's Ratzon all the way down here, from from Rotten to Chachma, from Chachma to Bina, from Chachma to Bina to Zohar, etc., and therefore five colors represent them. So the question is, Amy, is that so? You have a sixth and seventh one. It says that it says all the people were seeing the kolos, which is also plural. The answer is that's not a separate kolos. Oisim kolos to kodem matan Torah habu. The last kolos is the same one that was talking about before. It's saying that these kolos that we spoke of before, all the people saw them. As you know, the famous thing they saw was usually only heard.
Right.
Okay. But so we're back down to only five. Okay. Rabbi Bohu says another thing. A person is in Sameach Chas in the Tawa. Pilu Hikruv Toda. It's as if he brought a Korban Toda. Because that same Pasuk in Yirmiya that lists these five kolos continues. Mevi'im Toda Beis Hashem. Bring a Korban Toda to the house of Hashem. Rabbi Nachman says also a person is in the Sameach Chas in the Tawa. It's as if he rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Shenema, because that same pasuk in Yom Yer finishes, Ki Oshev as Shvosa Arif, Givori Shona, Amar Hashem, that Hashem says, I will restore the captivity and the former status of the land like it was originally, says Hashem. So we see a person in the Sameach Chas in the Tawa is associated with rebuilding and restoring Yerushalayim.
Shvosa Arif can have two meanings. Can have emptiness in the land?
No, Shvosa doesn't mean emptiness. Shvosa would mean the captivity, or it would mean the form of status, in Russian, Shav. Okay, anyway. But Amr of right. Russian Shem. Yeah. Okay, fine. So there's a settlement. Okay, whatever. Okay, for Amr of Chelba, Amr of Buna. Call Adam Sheyeshba, Yiras Shemayim, Dvarav Nishmoin. Any person who has Yiras Shemayim, his words are going to be listened to. Shenema, Soif Dover Hakil Nishma, the Pasuk says at the end of Kehelas, the end of the matter, everything is heard. Esra, the Kinirav, the Gomer, fear Hashem. In other words, the Gemara is explaining it. The simple meaning of the pasuk is at the end of the day, after all is said and done, after all of the research that Shlomo does in Tehillah about the meaning of life, the bottom line is that the Kimira, the Gemara is darshaning, so Hakol Nishma, everything will be listened to from Eser the Kimira, from somebody who fears Hashem. Okay. The Rebbe actually once told a story in this connection with the Rebbe Maharash. Where the Rebbe Maharash had had somebody in for Yechid, or somebody was asking him to do something or other to make Shalom Bayis, I think it was, or whatever, and the guy was saying, it's not going to work, or whatever, the Rebbe Maharash says, you know, listen, and the Gemara says, call on Mashiach V'yiras Shemayim, Dvarav Nishmayim, apparently the problem is with me, I'm not on that level, and therefore Dvarav not Nishmayim, and he put down his head for a while and vapors like that, and when he picked it up again and asked the guy, will you do it, then this time he said yes. My kizekol adam. So they want to ask that the end of that same pasuk, the whole pasuk, we say it before benching. Sof dov akol nishma, etzel the kimirav, etzel mitzvot of shmur. Kizekol adam. What does that phrase kizekol adam mean? The simple meaning it means this is the whole purpose that a person is in the world for. So that's omer
avol.
Well, to fear Hashem. Yeah. To fear Hashem and keep his mitzvah. So omer avol adam. Omer akadosh baruch hu means that Hashem is saying kol olam kuloi lo nivra ela b'shvil zeh. The entire world was only created for the sake of such a person. Ki zeh kol adam. All of this is all of this that exists around us is all because of this person. Rav Abba Bar Kahana. Omer shokol zeh k'nei kol olam kuloi. Rav Abba Bar Kahana says what it means is this person is equal to the whole rest of the world combined. The entire world was only created to be a company, to accompany this person, because like he can't live in the world alone. He needs other people to No, but that's the point. Because he has Yiras Shemayim, therefore, like he's the purpose of the world. But Rav Shimon ben Azai and Rav Shimon ben Zoma are saying, you know, the fact is a person can't live all by himself in the world. He needs other people. He needs a society to live in, and therefore, the whole world is created just in order to be the society for him.
Why would he be alone?
Well, because in other words, if the whole world is created for him, there's three different ways. There's three different levels that we're talking about. There's a couple of different explanations. Hakoyt of Ben Yaakov talks about, and others that the first one is saying, look, I mean, Hashem created people in order that they should fear him. Well, the Kim also Shiyurim Olafan of another pasuk in Tehillim. So the first Manda Omer over here, the first Manda Omer over here, Rabbi Lazar is saying that once you have such a person in the world, like there was no need for the whole rest of the world. This person, the whole world was created for this person. On the other hand, the second opinion, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, says that's going a little too far. I mean, to say that the whole world doesn't even need to exist except for him. So, okay, he's equal to the whole rest of the world combined. You know, the whole rest of the world combined is accomplishing something, and he's accomplishing something equal to all of them. And then Rav Shimon Azay, Rav Shimon Zoma is taking kind of a middle ground. No, he is more important than them, but the fact is they have a right, they have a reason to exist as well. And the reason to exist is because they serve as a society, they provide the resources and whatever that he needs in order to live.
So Yiras Hashem is more important than Shiva Hashem?
Apparently, I mean, Yiras Hashem includes. Ultimately, Yiras Hashem, you have Netanya talks, for example, about Yiras Hashem and Yirei Elah. Yirei Elah is a very high thing, higher even than Abba. Yeah.
Before Krishna, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Meruah Batishbachos.
That's first in yeah, okay, so fine.
That shows that it's...
Okay, so praising Hashem is also an important thing, but a person really fears Hashem and really has what Tanya calls Yirah Boshes, a fear of embarrassment, like I would be embarrassed to be doing something wrong because I'm constantly in the presence of Hashem. Naturally, that leads to praising Hashem, and naturally that leads to following all the mitzvahs and so forth. Okay. A person who knows that somebody else regularly says hello to him, yachkin lo shalom. You should go and say hello to him first. Shenema bakesh shalom grod sevu, because as the pasuk says, seek peace and pursue it. So like not just seek it, like you know you're available for the person to say hello, to say shalom to,
right.
But you pursue it, as in you take the first step, you take the initiative.
So that's an important thing, like everything else, but it's rarely done.
Okay,
that's
really important. Okay. If the person does say shalom to the other one, if one person does say shalom to the other, and the other person doesn't respond shalom as well, nikra gazlon, he's called a gazlon. So maybe that's you're saying that it's not very common, maybe because some people are not careful to say shalom back, so therefore you have a problem. And in fact, Maharsha says that's why we're saying only if you know that he's drug or looking like shalom. If not, then don't initiate the conversation by saying shalom to him, because then you're going to be making him a gazlan. Shenema, as the pasuk says, va'atem bi'artem akerem, as the pasuk says, you have destroyed the vineyards, gzeila sa'oni b'vateichem, the robbery of the poor is in your house. So what do you mean the robbery of the poor? I mean, people can rob from the rich as well. It means that the poor person, there's nothing to steal from him but to fail to answer to his shalom. So like the Navi is criticizing the people for even that. There's also the idea, like all the Oni has is a sense of self-worth, and therefore if you don't answer him shalom, it's like stealing that last thing from him. And then there's also an explanation of Yaakov Emden and some others say that the word Oni is also related to the word Ania, which means answering. Okay, so anyway, so it's considered Zela. No, but the point is, in other words, the word Oni itself means answering, and therefore it has a meaning of stealing by not saying shalom back to the person.
To
anybody. According to that, I mean, to anybody, but using the Oni, Meloshin Aniya, Meloshin Ani.
So what do you do? Are you Bakish Shalom? You initiate?
So if you know the person is regularly will say Shalom to you, then you should say Shalom first and give him the opportunity to answer. But if you don't know that he's regular in that, then there's a problem that you may be making him into a gazlan by doing that, so then don't do it.
Is that why people don't say Shalom?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
I mean, well, this is
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question, but let's go.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Okay. Amar Rav Yechon and the Shomer Rav Yechon. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. From where do we know that Hashem daven? Of course, you have the question. From where do you know? Don't we have to deal first with why would Hashem be davening? Hashem has everything. To who is he davening? Exactly. So there's a lot of extra. Just like yesterday when we talked about Hakadosh Baruch Hu Maniach Tefillin, there's quite a lot of explanations on that. One explanation that goes back to the Gaonim is that what we're saying is, again, Hashem models behavior for us to do. So just like we discussed yesterday, for example, Rav Chaim Goin says about Hashem putting on tefillin, it means that Hashem, so to speak, modeled it for Moshe Rabbeinu so that we should understand how to go about putting on tefillin. So the same way, the Gemara is saying over here that Hashem models proper tefillah for us, and the Gemara is going to say in a few lines what Hashem, so to speak, davens in order that we should understand as a lesson for ourselves how to daven and what the proper things are to be davening about. That's one explanation. No, we said yesterday, it says something about the greatness of the Jewish people. We said that there's a reciprocal thing. We have an art film something about the greatness of Hashem and how we have to listen to him.
Right.
And Hashem has in his film. We said, or Mikamcha Yisrael, or Migoy Godol, Ashrecha Yisrael. We had a bunch of
there
things.
There is no
we said yesterday. Yeah, there wouldn't be a reason. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go on. Okay, so that's one explanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. A whole different explanation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel means Hashem wants to be able to do good for us. Teva Tov L'Hesiv. But we have to make a keli for it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel is, so to speak, in a certain sense, you could say Hashem is davening to us, meaning that we have the ability, which, so to speak, Hashem doesn't keep in his hands, because tzadik v'rosh aloi ka'amah, kol b'dei shemayim, puts in Yiras Shemayim, Hashem leaves it up to us whether they have Yiras Shemayim. So Hashem, so to speak, davens and pleads with us to do the right thing so that he's able to give us good.
So his tefillah is,
so to speak, directed to us that we should be making a keli for him to be able to bestow brachas upon us. In Hasidus, it talks about it in Kabbalah, Bika letters, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Zah, and davening, and then Hashem's tefillah refers to that he wants to draw down higher levels of Elikos into Zah, which in turn affects the world, because Zah are the midos with which Hashem created the world. Anyway, so Minayin Shah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel, Shinema, the Pasuk says, Vavi Oistim al HaKadosh, the Pasuk says, I will bring them to my holy mountain, V'simachtim l'veis tefillah si, and I will make them happy in my house of davening. So what does that mean? Tefillah sam l'nemar. It doesn't say in the house of their davening, el tefillah si, the house of my davening. Implying, the symbol meaning, of course, it means the place where they daven to me. But still, the way it's phrased like that, Mekan Shah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel, we can understand another layer of meaning in the Pasuk. It means, so to speak, the place where I daven. So the question is, my matzli, what is the content of Hashem's tefillah? Matzli means davening. Amr of Zutra Batruvya Amr Rab, he says like this, Yehi rotzen milafonai, may it be my will, sheyich b'shu rachamai eskasi, that my mercy should overcome my anger. In other words, even if like the Jewish people deserve that I should be angry at them, but still my rachamim should overcome that. V'yagoylu rachamai amidosai, and my rachamim should roll over, and should roll over my midas. In other words, my midas should be affected by my rachamim, because the same midas can be used for good or for negative. So yeah. V'esnaigin bonem b'minas rachamim, may I deal with my children with a midah of mercy, and go with them beyond the letter of the law. Even if according to the letter of the law, they deserve such and such, but I should be willing to go beyond that and be kind to them. So again, and you know, there's the idea again that we're saying that the Hashem is either what it means is Hashem is modeling with that what we should be davening for, instead of a person davening for Bani Chaya or Mizona, just for the various physical needs of his. The proper content of davening that Hashem is modeling for us, according to this, is to ask that Hashem should that Hashem's whole method, that Hashem's whole approach to running the world and to running our lives should be one of rachamim. So that's the point. So he davens for that in order to model that for us is one explanation. And the other idea is again that Hashem is asking us to be a keli for that, that we should act in a way that. Will that Hashem will therefore reciprocate with rachamim, and then again, it talks about the idea that what we're saying is that Hashem is yehi rotzon, always means to rotzon is rotzon. We talk about it as the highest thing, even higher than moshin, even higher than midas. So it's the idea like Hashem wants to draw down his own rotzon, like a higher level of lakus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the word HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gemara refers to Zah, and therefore, like so to speak, like Zah itself, one of the lower ways in which Hashem interfaces with us wants to draw down from a higher level from rotzon Hashem's rotzon even includes a level where our mitzvahs and avodas don't matter. So therefore, it means like even if we're not worthy, then Hashem should still draw down from that level to be able to bestow good upon us. Okay. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Pamachas nichnasi lahachter teres lifnai v'lifnim. One time, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol, late in the time of the second Mishmikash. So one time I went into lifnai v'lifnim, into the innermost chamber of the Kodesh HaKodashim, in order to offer teres, Amin Kippur, v'lashkes. V'ra'isi akasrikel, and I saw akasriel. So what is akasriel? Some of them, of course, say it means the name of a malach. Others say that it's a name for Hashem himself. Some level of gilui alikus. Ka Hashem tzvakos. He was sitting on a high and exalted and lofty throne. So again, some of the Mephoshim say that we're talking about that he saw a high-level malach, And the Malach himself sometimes can be called by Hashem's name when he's being sent on a shlichus from Hashem. Other Mephoshim explain that we're talking about he saw a vision kavyachol of Hashem himself.
But we say that you cannot see a vision.
On the one hand, you can. On the other hand, you can't. Yeah, for example, Yeshaya says, where you see a Hashem Yoshev, Alkisei Rom Menisa. He uses a somewhat similar expression. I saw Hashem sitting on a high and lofty throne. No, but it means he saw a gilui of the kutz. He saw a revelation that Hashem allowed himself to be expressed in that kind of revelation that can be described in human terms as seeing the person. You have other examples as well. It says that Shimon HaTzadik, for example, that when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim every year, he was also Kohen Gadol, that he would see, so to speak, Shimon HaTzadik, that he would see a man, usually he would see a man dressed in white that would be accompanying him out. And Yerushalmi says actually that was a vision kavyachol of Hashem himself, because even Malachim aren't allowed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that time. Okay, whatever it means, it's a very high level of Gilui, of course. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when the Kohen Gadol was there, right? Okay. But Amali Yishmael bni Borchevi. So he says to me, Yishmael, my son, bless me. Again, we have to ask, what does it mean to bless Hashem if Hashem has everything? And here you have, for example, you have a general question. We say Baruch Ata Hashem. What exactly are we saying? It can't be that we're giving something Hashem he doesn't have. So you have the Rashba here in Yaakov talks about it. Hakosev has an extremely long explanation about it. There's a couple of different approaches. One of them is, again, that saying Baruch in general represents that not that we're giving Hashem something that he doesn't have, but rather we're acknowledging that Hashem is the source of all Baruch. The Baruch Heini, according to that, would be that Hashem wants him to acknowledge that Hashem is, that he wants him to say something that acknowledges that Hashem is the source of all good in the world and the source of all rachamim in the world. Another angle on it is Baruch Heini is, again, that, so to speak, we're able to give Hashem something that he lacks, because, again, he doesn't control whether we have Yiras Shemayim. He leaves it up to us. So therefore, like, we're so to speak, giving something to Hashem by saying Baruch Atah Hashem, we're giving him something. There's also the idea Akosif talks about it, Siddhartha talks about it a lot, that the word bracha also is related to the word mavrich of a geffen, which means that you take a branch of a grapevine, for example, and bend it down into the ground, so eventually it develops into a new grapevine. So it refers to bringing down something from above to us. Yeah. So it refers to bringing down the Julia of the course into the world.
What refers to it?
The word bracha.
Why? Because
it means, in other words, like you're bending down a twig, like you're taking this Gilui of the course, this high level Gilui of the course that Bishmol Ben Elisha is having there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hashem wants him to bring it down into the world. Well, it's probably related to Berach. Amarti lo, yeah. Yehirotim lo fanecha. So I said to him basically the same words that we said before, that Hashem says in his own tefillah, but of course in third person. Yehirotim lo fanecha, it should be your will. Sheyich b'shur rachamecha eskach, so that your anger should overcome, that your rachamim should overcome your anger. V'yagoylu rachamecha amidisecha, your rachamim should roll over your midis and control them and direct them. V'sisnai gemonecha midis rachamim, may you deal with your children with a midah of mercy. If you can't explain, the Pnimishiros Adini, you should go with them beyond the letter of the law. So again, Hashem's tefillah, the same tefillah as we said Hashem says, this is where we get it in davening. In morning davening we say it, in the Sechur and the Sun Rosh Hashanah we say it. Because when Hashem sees that we're not behaving properly, then anger, we have also, for example, we said yesterday, for example, Hashem sees there aren't 10 people, I'm sure, Miyadu Koyas, right? So one idea of it is, it means, in other words, it's talking from our point of view. In other words, we're now more distant from Hashem. So Kavyachol, like when a person is angry at somebody else, then he stays away from the person, so the same way we're now more distant from Hashem. But there's also the idea that
he can be angry.
Because anger, we said the other day, in connection with Rigzu Baal Tehto, there's a kind of anger that's justified, which is you when it's used when it's used against the Yetzirah, when it's used against manifestations of the Yetzirah and whatever, and therefore that's Hashem. Okay, so then Hashem and Hashem's side also, when there's things that exist, and we're going to give examples later on, when there's things in the world that exist that are contrary to the plan that Hashem had for the world, then Kaviyachol, we can describe Hashem as angry. Which means, like, so to speak, like he withdraws his close involvement with the world, and, like, so to speak, acts as if he's only managing it from a distance. Okay. Anyway, v'nana li v'roshe, and he, this Akasriel, whether it's the Malach, whether it's Hashem, so to speak, nodded his head to me. So So what's the point? But Kamash Malan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, wants to tell us not just the words of Hashem Tefillah. We knew that already from the previous statement. But Shaloi Tehid Birkas Hedyeh Kala Beinecha. Even the bracha of a simple person shouldn't be light in your eyes, because even though Rabbi Shmuel is far lower than Hashem, infinitely lower than Hashem, because he's a Nivra and Hashem is not, nevertheless Hashem appreciated his bracha and, so to speak, nodded his head. V'amar Rav Yechanan Mishum Rav Yosi. Another thing Rav Yechanan said in the name of Rav Yosi, since we mentioned at the top of the Amud, this Minayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel, so another thing from him. Minayin Shein Miratzin Lo La'odim B'Shas Kaseh. How do we know that during the time when a person is angry, before we were talking about Hashem's anger, now let's talk about a person is angry, that's not the proper time to try to calm him down. Wait until he himself calms down, and then you go ask him Mechila. As the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, my face, which sometimes means anger, as the Lord is going to say in a second, will go and I will calm things down for you, and I will let things go easy for you. So the simple meaning of the Pasuk is that Hashem is assuring Moshe that my Shekhinah will continue to go with you in the Midbar. But on the Lord, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Hashem is saying to Moshe, Hamtin liyad sheyav reponim shel zam, wait until, so to speak, my angry face goes away, and then I'll make it go easy for you. So then I'm willing to accept your words of appeasement and whatever on behalf of the Jewish people. But as it says in Tirkiyah, don't try to appease the person during the time when he's angry. Okay.
Something
means wait.
Right, exactly. So for the Yiddish, time is irrelevant.
Okay, but for us, it's relevant. From the point of view of Das Tachton, it's relevant. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, where do we see this idea that Hashem is angry? Which, before Hashem explained, the question is not, we have many psukim that mention Hashem angry, but the question is, well, the Gemara is going to say now, that you have a certain time every day, a certain time every day when Hashem is, so to speak, angry. So what does that mean? Do you have such a thing that Hashem should be angry even when there's not an obvious cause of it? The answer is A, yes. Titania, as we learn in a Brisa, the Pasuk says, "Kael zoyim b'chol yoyim." Hashem is angry every day. How long does Hashem's zam last? Rega, it lasts for a rega. B'kama rega, how much is a rega? Echad mechameshes ribo yoshmona falach moshmona meyos yoshmona moshmona b'shal. 158,888 of an hour. So it means a fraction of a second. During that fraction of a second, Hashem is angry. On the side of it here, it brings a different girsa. Maybe it should be 80,888, or maybe because then it would correspond to the number of psukim in the Torah. There's also other possibilities. Tosfah, Rabbi Natan and Sefer Ayasha gives a whole different girsa. You have it in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that brings this as well, and has a somewhat different number, 53,000 and something. Rabbi Natan and Sefer Ayasha wants to say the correct number should be 13,000 and something, because 24 times 24, whatever, it's a fraction of a second that Hashem is angry. The Zuhi Rega, so that's the definition of a Rega, for this purpose anyway, there are other definitions of a Rega in Torah. The Enko Briya Yecholol Chavan Oitashah, there's no human being that is able to know that exact fraction of a second. Ella Chutzne Bilam Arasha, except for Bilam. Bilam had the unique ability to know that exact moment when Hashem is angry. One second, we see before that Hashem is telling Moshe, like right now, like an inopportune time, wait until, okay, but that, okay. As we find by Bilam, it says about him that he knows the mind of the highest one. So what does that mean? He knows Hashem's mind. He didn't even understand the das of his animal, because you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells, Rashi brings it on the Pasuk, that you have the whole, well, he's beating his donkey, and the donkey is arguing, haven't I always been faithful to you, and then as you have a whole discussion back and forth, where every time Bilam tries to say something, the donkey contradicts him, so obviously he doesn't even know what his donkey is thinking. Das Elion Havayodah, and he knows Hashem's thoughts. Elam Malamed, so there's one particular thing that he knows of what Hashem does. From this we learn, Shahi Yedeh Lachav and he does know the exact moment when Hashem is angry in it. And he wanted to use that to curse the Jewish people. Thus we find that many years later, the Navi says to the Jewish people, appropriately, this is a map, Torah, Parshas Balak, he says, Ami, my people, Zecharna Mayat Balak Malach Moyav, remember what Balak, the king of Moyav, plotted against you, and what Bilam answered him. My Laman Das Tidkes Hashem. So what does it mean? The pasuk finishes off in order that you should know the righteousness of Hashem. What does that mean? Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, means Hashem is saying to the Jewish people, do come a tzedakah tzatzisi imachem. Look how much tzedakah, how much kindness I did for you during that time when Bilam and Balak were plotting against you. That during that time when Bilam was trying to curse you, I didn't get angry. I suspended that normal time, that normal rega of anger that I have in order that Bilam shouldn't be able to take advantage. Because if I had gotten angry during that time and Bilam knew that moment, then he would have used it to curse the Jewish people. It wouldn't have been left a remnant or an escapee of the enemies of the Jewish people, meaning a euphemism for the Jewish people themselves. In other words, Bilam's curse at that time would have been so effective that, yeah, would have actually worked.
If he knew,
but Hashem suspended his anger during those days. So like Bilam is waiting, when's that moment going to come? So I can use it, and it's not coming because Hashem suspended it. Tosfos asked the question, if a rega is so short that we said, how could Bilam use it to curse the Jewish people? So Tosfos gives two answers. Either he could say the one word, kalim, which means destroy them, and it would be effective. In fact, elsewhere, Tosfos talks about that. Not only do we know that Hashem turned Bilam's klolos into brachos, so in this case, also, Hashem turned the intended word kalim that he would have said backwards to spell melech. And indeed, in Bilam's brachos, you have brachos of melech of the Jewish people, and eventually the melech of Mashiach. Or, Tosfos says, the other possibility is, as long as Bilam started his curse during that rega, then it would be effective even if it continued after that. So therefore, by Hashem suspending his anger, that means he didn't even have a chance to begin. Behind her to call Amalek Bilam the Balak. Thus we find that Bilam says to Balak in his Brachos Nikolas, he says, Ma echoed like Kabay Kael, how can I curse the one that Hashem doesn't want to curse? Uma ezoi mozoam Hashem, how can I be angry at the one Hashem is not angry at? Meaning, Melamech, Kolot and Ayam, Loizom, during all those days, Hashem's not being angry. So like Bilam says, how am I even supposed to begin if there's not even a time now when Hashem is Zoyim that I can take advantage of?
That he didn't know.
No, that Hashem is suspending it, right, that he didn't know. The Kama Zamo Rega, so again, the Gemara goes back, how long is Hashem's anger is a Rega, as I said before. The Kama Rega, how long is a Rega? So before we had a numeric amount, one certain fraction, 158,000 or whatever, of an hour. Here the Gemara gives a different definition. Amar Rav Avin v'Yikemer Rav Avinah, Rega Kenemre. The word, a Rega is the amount of time that it takes to say the word Rega, which is, of course, longer than the previous definition. But it also fits with what Tosfos is saying, that he could have said Kalim during that time, because Kalim is two syllables, just like Rega. Yes, it's still longer. Okay, so different opinions what a Rega is. Okay. Umanolon de Rega Rosa. How do we know that Hashem's anger every day lasts to only a Rega? Just Chenema, ki Rega Ba'apo, the Pasuk says, a Rega is Hashem's anger. Chayim Birtsonoi. Life is Hashem's desire. So most of the time, Hashem desires that there should be a world for one rega every day. So to speak, Hashem is angry that it's not that's not going according to plan. The boy is same mehalcha. Another possibility. You have another possibility that expresses the same idea. Chavi kimat rega ad yaver zam. Hide for just a rega until the anger dissipates. We see again that this anger milamayla lasts for just a rega. Okay. The emas rosa. What time, now we don't know the exact time, only Bilam knew it, but during what part of the day does this anger take place? It's sometime during the first 3 hours of the day. What happens, we see at that time, it's the moment when the comb of a rooster becomes white, and the rooster stands on one leg. At that time.
There's millions of roosters in the world that sing at different times.
So when you see that, when you see it, then I guess, you know. I don't know, when you see a particular one, then you know. So the question is called Shaita Vashaita Nami Koyahochi. Roosters do that all the time. Their combs turn white at various times, and they stand on one leg various times. The answer is called Shaita Isbe Suraiki Sumki. True, but even when the comb turns white, there's usually red streaks or red dots left in it, blood vessels or whatever. He tries to less face Suraiki Sumki. At this time, during the moment of Hashem's anger, there are no red streaks left in it.
Suraiki
means sweet, so blood vessels or whatever. So even that, even those turn white during that moment. One idea is white is the color of chesed, so it means even during this time, if Hashem's anger, which is the ultimate manifestation of gvura, then Hashem, so to speak, balances it out by making that there should be something in the world that normally has red in it, and now instead it's white. Okay.
That has a relationship with why we don't make kiddush between...
No, that has nothing to do. because that's between 6 and 7. That's between 6 and 7 Friday night. This is, we're talking about sometime during the first 3 hours of the day.
Yeah, but it still has to do with colors.
No, it has to do with that it's inappropriate to bring in Shabbos during the time of Mazel Magen. It has nothing to do with red versus it's a color. That's fine, but the fact is you don't know you have Mazel Magen at different times during the day. We'll learn about it in the Sefer Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, but nonetheless, the fact remains is the time to make Kiddush over the night is at night, so that's the time when we're concerned with. Anyway, no, it has nothing to do with colors. It's a common misconception that if you make Kiddush on white wine, it's not an issue. It doesn't really work that way. All right, let's go on. Okay, the Gemara tells how there was a certain tzduki, or min, or goy, whatever the different gersoys over here, who was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shurban Levi, that have become a sire like Tuva Bikroi. This guy was always bugging Rabbi Shurban Levi with tzukim. As we know, you have missionaries even nowadays that they bring various tzukim from Tanakh and misinterpret them and claim that they're proofs for their religion or whatever. So this guy was doing that. Yoy Machab, one day, Rabbi Shurban Levi was tired of it. Shuffle Panagoli decided, I have to find the moment of Hashem's Zan and curse this guy. He took a rooster. We just said that you can tell the moment of Hashem's Zan by observing a rooster. So he took a rooster. The Oikme Ben Karejar. So he put it between the legs of his bed, the Ayin Bay, and he's sitting over there and then looking at it and then staring at it and waiting to Sabak. He must Ben Karejar, so means between the legs of his bed, so like at the foot of his bed. The iron bar, and he's looking at the rooster to see this moment when it turns. Sovereign, he figures, Kimotai Hishaita, when that moment comes and the comb turns white and it stands on one leg, that I know is the moment of Hashem's Zam. I'll ask you, then I'll curse the guy, and then that'll be the end of it. Kimotai Hishaita, but then when the actual time came, Naim, then Rabbi Shurban maybe fell asleep. So he wasn't able to take advantage afterwards. Almost, so he realized afterwards when he woke up, Shmamina, I can see from that, Lav Urach Ara Lamebenha. See, it's not the proper thing to do that, to try to be looking to curse this guy. Because after all, Rachma Vakamai succeed, as opposed to because Hashem's Rachmim are on all his creatures. So even this Zuki, even this Min, even whatever, no matter what a Nudniki is, he's forward to creation of Hashem, and therefore we shouldn't just be trying to curse him just like that. Tosfos discusses if he was a tzaduki or a min or whatever, the din is actually meridin v'leimalin. Such people you can try, you do lower them like into a pit and you don't raise them out of it. So in other words, there is a concept that you do work to destroy them. But Tosfos says that to be day adam, that's through human agency. But to ask Hashem to do it, then it's not really the proper thing to ask Hashem to punish them in an unnatural way. Also, Tosfos says another possible thing is maybe this guy wasn't a tzaduki, maybe he was a goy. Maybe with a goy, and in that case, in a goy, you don't just say, you're not allowed to be meridian, you're not allowed to, yeah, you're not allowed to just go, unless he's at war with you, you're not allowed to cause his death. Okay. Okay. And you have another pasuk, gamma noish la tzadik loy toiv. Also, there's another pasuk that says, even for a tzadik, it's not good to punish. So two things. In other words, number one, from the point of view of him, he's a Nivra, and therefore we shouldn't just be trying to destroy him just like that, or to ask Hashem to. And number two, from my point of view, listen, it's not good for a tzaddik to be punishing people. Okay. We learn in a braisa in the name of a mayor. What we're saying that Hashem is angry sometime during the first 3 hours of the day, but what triggers it? That's when the sun is shining. All the kings in the east and west put their crowns on their heads, and they bow to the sun. At that moment is when Hashem is angry. Like so to speak, they're putting their crowns on their heads. Like they recognize that their kingship is not just their own; it comes from a power higher than them. But instead of attributing that to Hashem as they should, they attribute it to the sun. And therefore, that gets Hashem angry. So therefore, that's it. The Pashtos, I mean, the different Malkim, Mizrach, and Meirav are doing this at different times, whenever the sun rises in their location. But okay, I mean, you could say the same thing you were saying before about the roosters. There are different roosters in the world, but Pashtos, I guess, so to speak, in each time zone, there's a different game. Okay. And the Altareb mentions in Madhura Basra of Shulchan Aruch and in Siman Aleph, that you have, again, like you said before, Hashem himself is higher than time. The higher world, the higher world, time works differently in them than it does by us. But you have certain diluyim and certain whatever that take place, Lamaila, and then in each place on earth, they manifest themselves at the appropriate time. So here also, what it may be is there is a certain time, there is a certain moment when Hashem is diluyim, and in each place and on earth, it comes down in its appropriate time, when it comes that time. In a particular time zone. For Amr Rav Yechon Mishum Rav Yosi, Toiva Mardus Achas Belibishal Adam Yosi Mikama Malkis. one marius, which means one thing that a person, not marius. Rashi says Lashon Ridui Vachna. It means subjugation. It means basically when a person himself. It's related to Makos Marius, which means rebellion, right? But it means, in other words, when the person himself like rebels against and regrets and feels bad about what he himself did, that is more effective than 100 malchus. So there's so one internal feeling like that where the person feels bad about what he did, and Lashon Ridui Vachna, Rashi says, yeah, well, sort of like, but okay. So that's more effective than many malchus. Shinema, as the prophet says, in Hosea, the Navi is telling the Jewish people that you've been worshiping Avodah Zarah, you've been unfaithful to Hashem, like a wife being unfaithful to her husband. So the expression in the pasuk, "Virid faras ma'aveh Avodah," she's going to pursue her lovers, meaning the Jewish people are continuing to pursue the Avodah Zarah they worship and the nations they want peace treaties with, whatever, and it's not helping. Va'omra, so she says to herself, "Let me go and return to my first husband, Hashem, because I'm better off then than I am now." So in other words, that's the marduch, the libe shel adam. Like they start regretting in their own heart, realizing that what they did is wrong and counterproductive. And now the following psukim describe various punishments that Hashem is going to have to send to this, so to speak, to this faithless woman, to the Jewish people. So therefore, we see though that this pasuk is saying that she herself, realizing she's done wrong and needs to improve, is more effective than all of them. Rish Lakish says specifically this one maudus in the person's heart, this one thought of regret in the person's heart is more effective than 100 maudus. Shenema is a pasuk that says, Teichas ga'ar of the mavin, Teichas, Rashi explains, is not a verb, it's a noun, unlike Al-Tirov Al-Teichas, for example, is a verb. Teichas means the knia, the subjugation, the humility that a person feels, ga'ara, as a result of rebuke, of self-rebuke, the maven in a person who understands, is more effective, mehakos silmea, than hitting a fool 100 times. You see that there was a saying, teichas, the feeling of subjugation, humility, and then...
What's the root of
teichas? The root of chasas, which means breaking.
So breaking?
So the breaking of ga'ara, the self-breaking, the self-achna that the person feels on his own as a result of ga'ara, like he rebukes himself internally. Why did I do that? The maven, to a person who understands, is more effective than that ksilmeya than hitting a ksil 100 times.
The breaking of,
in other words, the fact that he feels broken inside by rebuking himself for what he did. Okay. But Amar Rav Yechon Meshum Rav Yechon, Shloisha Dvarim Vikash Moshe Malifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Nasamai. There were three things that Moshe asked Hashem, and Hashem granted them to him. Number one, Vikash Shetishra Shchina Al Yisrael. Moshe asked that the Shchina should rest only on the Jewish people, that there shouldn't be Goyish in the Vim. That's actually the next one. First, that the Shechina should rest on the Jewish people, even after the Chatekel. V'nosamai, and Hashem granted it in, Shenema haloi b'lach t'chai imanu, because Moshe said, won't it be, we'll continue going if you go with us. And Hashem granted that to him. Moshe is asking, like, you're not willing to accompany us after the Chatekel, but please do. Please change your mind, so to speak, and then come with us. And Hashem granted that. Number two, Moshe asked that the Shechina should not rest on Goyim, that they should only be Nevi'im by the Jewish people. No, because before that you had Bilam, for example, but not so. And Hashem granted it. As Moshe asked, I and your people should be distinguished among all the nations. And number three, Bikash Laidia Drachav Shalakarish Baruch Hu. Number three, Rabbi Yechon is saying, Moshe asked to be told Hashem's ways. How does Hashem run the world? And he gave it to him, namely that it says that Moshe asked, this is all in Parashat Kisisa, after the Chatekel. So Moshe asked Hashem, inform me of your ways. What does that mean? Amal Afan, if it means that Moshe is asking Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, why is it that you have some tzaddikim that have it good, some tzaddikim you have it bad, you have the shoyim who have it good, and you have the shoyim who have it bad. Amaloi. So Hashem answers him, Moshe, I'll explain to you like this. Tzadik v'tovloi is tzadik ben tzadik. Is a tzadik the son of a tzadik? I know you're wondering, that's not what we learn in Tanya, hold on. Tzadik v'raloi is tzadik ben rosha. the tzaddik who has it bad is the tzaddik, the son of a rasha. Rasha v'tovlo is rasha. One second. Rasha v'tovlo is rasha ben tzaddik. Rasha v'ralo, rasha ben rasha. So that's the definition. Now, the Gemara is going to ask on that, that it seems to contradict something else. With that said, some of the Mephoroshim say it doesn't just mean to the physical son of a tzaddik or a rasha, like you're mentioning Esav, for example. More primarily, it refers to whether this tzaddik or this rasha is the gilgal of a previous tzaddik or a previous rasha.
So therefore,
we don't know who Esav, I don't know who Esav was a gilgal of. Maybe it doesn't say that. Whatever. The point is, in other words, that when you have it, when you see a tzaddik with viraloi, what it can mean is that his job is to clean up what his neshama was doing in a previous gilgal, and therefore he needs to have a difficult time in this world in order to be able to. Okay, amamah. We just said. Rabbi Yochanan said tzaddik v'tovla is tzaddik and tzaddik, tzaddik v'ralo is tzaddik and rasha. The question is, Eini, is that so? What do you mean that Hashem? That what do you mean that because of who the person's father was, therefore that affects how he himself has it in the world, good or bad? You have one pasuk that says that Hashem remembers the sins of the father to the children. On the other hand, we have a pasuk that says that children are not killed because of their fathers, because of what their fathers did. Now, we do point out that there's a contradiction. So what is it? Does Hashem punish the children for the father's averus or not? And we answer, like one is where they still hold on to their father's ways. So in other words, for example, if you have a father did a certain avera and his child continues with the same avera, then when Hashem punishes the child, then yeah, he also takes into consideration what the father was doing as well. So like now it became hereditary in the family. As opposed to when they don't. So if tzaddik is the son of a rasha, and he's not following in his father the rasha's ways, why should he have virala? Ela hakakamale. So no, we have to fix up what we said. Not tzaddik ben tzaddik, or tzaddik ben rasha, etc., but rather tzaddik v'tovlo is tzaddik gomer, tzaddik virala is tzaddik she'eni gomer. Rasha v'tovlo, rasha she'eni gomer, and rasha virala, rasha gomer. That is what it says. So that the Alter Rebbe mentions that on the first page of Panya. And then the Alter Rebbe spends some time explaining that the two definitions are complementary. Rasha, for example, tzaddik v'tovloi means, first of all, so what is it? We call him tzaddik gomer from the point of view of that he's a complete tzaddik. There's no evil left in him. And tzaddik v'tovloi from the point of view, it's what it talks about actually in these days in Panya, that it means that his that even the ra that was within him has been completely transformed into tov, as opposed to the rasha v'raloi is it means it, we're calling him tzaddik gomer from the on the objective sense he's not a complete tzaddik because there's still some vestige of ra left in him. It's not active because then he would be a benedi, but in terms and we tzaddik she'eni gomer and we call him tzaddik v'raloi in the sense that there still is a little ra left in him because he hasn't completely driven it out. As the Alter Rebbe explains in these days, Tanya, that therefore he doesn't utterly hate evil, a tzaddik she'eni gomer would, a tzaddik gomer would, so therefore to each one, there's two names for him, one representing the objective thing, where is his status relative to what he could be, and number two, not what he could be, but relative to the peak of perfection or whatever. And number two, in terms of what amount of za or what amount of toys there is in them, what percentages there are basically. So therefore, for each one, there are two names.
Okay.
And then of course you have the name in the end. So the Gemara says, this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that we said before, that Moshe asked for three things and he was granted all of them, that disagrees with what Rabbi Meir says. So Amar Rabbi Meir says, no, it's true that Moshe made those three requests, but Hashem only granted him two of them. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, v'chanosi es asher ofrein, I will be gracious to the one I want to be gracious to, which means Rabbi Meir understands it, afa pi she'enu. It means even if a person is not worthy and deserving of it, I can still be gracious to him. I will have mercy on the one that I have mercy on, even though he's not worthy. So again, according to Rav Yechanan, we would be saying that there's always, Hashem has, there's always a calculation. Moshe was told the basic idea about tzaddik gomer and tzaddik sheni gomer, tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ralo, whatever. But Rav Meir is saying, on the other hand, Hashem is saying, you can't even understand it. There's some things even beyond your understanding, Moshe. Sometimes I'm kind and merciful even to somebody who doesn't deserve it.
That
according to the mayor, that so Moshe asked to be told that, and Hashem told him no. Hashem told him, you can't understand it. Okay. The pasuk continues, Vayomer lo sucha liris es ponai. It says, the pasuk continues, Hashem says to Moshe, this is all over there in Parashat Kisisa, you cannot see my face. Moshe asks, Harini no kodech, Hashem, your glory. And Hashem says, you can't see my face. Tonim v'shmed rabbi shoven kofa. Hach omolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. It means Hashem is telling Moshe like this. When I wanted to show you my face, so to speak, you didn't want to see it, namely by the snare in Parashat Shemot, by the burning bush. It says over there, by Yasser Moshe Pono. It says over there, Moshe hid his face. He didn't want to, he did, because he was afraid of looking at the glory of Hashem. So therefore, Hashem is saying to Moshe, I gave you the opportunity then, you didn't want it. Now that you want to do it, then I don't want it. Okay, the Gemara says a pligad of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr ben Yannison. On the other hand, this explanation of Rabbi Shimon Korcha disagrees with Shmuel ben Achmeni's explanation, named Rabbi Yechanan. The Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr ben Yannison. B'schar sholosh zochal sholosh. In the scope of three things that Moshe did at that time, by the burning bush, zochal sholosh. In the scope of that, he was zochal to three things of Gilui Alakos. In other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni, all these three things that Moshe did is positive, as opposed to according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Hashem is like criticizing for like you missed the opportunity.
Could be both.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, since they're both in Torah, then, yeah, it has to be that way, of course. B'scharuf vayaste Moshe ponov. In the scope that it says that Moshe hid his face, zochal aklaster upon him. In the scope of that, he was zochal that his face shone. It says at the end of Parshat Kisisa that Moshe's face was shining. B'schar ki yore, because it says he was afraid to look at the Gilui Elikos, zochal v'ayiru migeshes elav. Therefore, he was zochal that when his face was gleaming like that, that the Jewish people were afraid to approach him. And b'schar may have beat. Because he was afraid to look, because he didn't look, Zohala Usmunas Hashem Yabit, therefore he was Zohcha to the Pasuk says in Parshas Valos, so that so to speak he sees the image of Hashem.
The image.
No, but it means, in other words, that he had a very high, he had a higher level. No, it means that he had a higher level. Right, so that's what we're saying. It contradicts what the Shulman Torah is saying. But like you said, I mean, look, they're both at Torah. Obviously, they're both true in a certain sense. So one possibility is maybe the Gemara is saying that he did get the schar, that he has a very high level Gilui Elikos, but he could have had even a higher one, not just plopped upon him, not just that his face is gleaming, for example, not just a Tumunas Hashem, but he missed the opportunity. Okay. The pasuk continues.
How did he miss it? Because
he covered his face by the snare. He already may have this other kick because he's afraid of what. Okay. The pasuk continues. Vasi roisi es kafi. The pasuk
didn't tell him not to look.
Right. Okay. The pasuk continues in Parashat Kisisa. In the whole, we're still going through pasuk by pasuk. This whole thing, this whole dialogue between Hashem and Moshe. The pasuk says, Vasi roisi es kafi. I will remove my hand, Hashem says, so to speak. V'ra'isa es achora, and you will see my back. What does it mean to see Hashem's back? Amar abchona ba'bizna, amar abshem chasida, malama chahera akarish baruch ha'lamosha kesher shol tefillin. It teaches us that Hashem showed Moshe the knot of the tefillin, shol rosh, which is behind Hashem. He said before, akarish baruch ha'maniach tefillin. So now Moshe showed Hashem that knot, which obviously is a very, very high level of Gilui Elikos, but nevertheless, it's still only the knot, and not the tefillin themselves, representing that even Moshe's comprehension of Elikos had a limit beyond which it couldn't go. In Geras HaKodesh, in Tanya, the Alphabet of Witness from the Arizal, that Moshe was only able to see as far as Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus of Yetzira, I think, or Bria, I forget, where the Kabbalah are able to understand much higher, but understanding is different than seeing. The highest that Moshe could see is, like, so to speak, the back, the lower midas, represented over here by Hashem's back.
Not as a tyranny. Is the connection between...
That's actually an explanation. That's a good point. The connection between the tefillin and the body. And you have the portion of it here. For example, the Rashba explains that it also represents, right, it represents the nexus, that connection between Hashem and the world. Moshe, right. So it's a very high thing, but nevertheless, it's still not the tefillin themselves. Right.
Okay. Where did it mention that?
The Rashba, for example, mentions it on any article here. But Amr of Yechon and Meshum of Yesi called Dibur v'Dibur Shiyasim Pi Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Tova. Any word, any saying that Hashem said for good, where He promised to do something good, Afilo Al Tanai, even if it was only with a condition, Loi Chozer by Hashem doesn't go back on it and He still fulfills it, even if the condition doesn't come true. Menolon Mi Moshe. I mean, where do we see this? We see this from what happened with Moshe. Shenema, the Pasuk says, after the Chet HaEgel, Hashem says to Moshe, Heref mimeni vashmidim again, leave me alone and I will destroy them. The Esa Oizcha L'goy Otsum, I will make you into a mighty nation. So Hashem is promising, like so to speak, Hashem is saying, like, I'll destroy the Jewish people and I'll recreate the Jewish people through you. You will be the ancestor of a new Jewish people. I forgot the bomb Moshe Rachmi Allah Milsa. Now Moshe Davin for Rachmanis about it. Moshe Davin about the Chet HaEgel. O Batla, and Hashem was Mavatal like Zera and did not destroy the Jewish people. Afilo Hachi Oshma Bezari. Nevertheless, Hashem fulfilled this promise with Moshe's descendants, that he made him into a great nation. Shenema, you have it like this. Givra Yom, it says B'nai Moshe. No, meaning the Levim. Shenema, B'nai Moshe. No, the Kohenim from Man. Shenema, B'nai Moshe Gershom V'Eliezer. The Pasuk says, the sons of Moshe are Gershom and Eliezer. And the Pasuk continues. So in the Pesukim, in Chumash Shmos, it only mentions the two of them, and we don't have anything further about them. But in Divrei Yomim, it gives details about some of their descendants. Vayiyu B'nai Eliezer Rechavya HaRosh. The sons of Eliezer were, there was the head of the family named Rechavya. And the Pasuk continues, a couple of Pesukim later, Uvnei Rechavya Rovu L'mayla. The sons of Rechavya multiplied exceedingly. Lamaila above. So what does that mean? The Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Lamaila Mishishim Ribay. Above means that they increased to more. We're talking about quantity. We're talking about quantity. Hashem proposed that he's going to recreate a new Jewish people of 600,000 men from Moshe, and therefore Hashem fulfilled the promise, even though the condition was he would destroy the Jewish people, and in the event he didn't. So Moshe, so Rechavya, who was Moshe's grandson, had 600,000 descendants. Why? Ask you, Revia, Revia. How do we know that Rav means 600,000? Because we learned by Xera Shava on the word Revia. Ksivacha Rav Lamaila, Uchtivasim of Neisha, Poro Vayushasu Vayubu. In the beginning of Parashas Shmos, it says that the Jewish people were fertile and then multiplied, etc. So we see over there they eventually were 600,000 adult males. So the same way with Rechavya's descendants. So we see that Hashem fulfilled his promise even though the condition didn't come true. Okay.
What do we say that the Levites are so great? What makes them so great? Comparison to
the Kohanim. The Kohanim and the Levium also great, but here we're talking about numerical. Here we're talking numerically. There were many, many Levium that came from Moshe through his grandson Rechavya. But actually, I mean, you have the Levium and the Kohanim. Each one has a different kind of avodah. The Alter talks about it briefly in Tanya Perek Nun. It's talked about in other places in Chassidus. So you have the avodah of the Levium is with Gvura. The avodah of Kohanim is with Chesed. There are two different types. Obviously, every person has Gvura and Chesed, but which one predominates in their avodah?
So the
Levim
is what?
So Levim is Gura. Therefore, they may, the Kohanim is Avoda. It's quiet, whereas Levim is involved making noise and playing instruments and whatever. Yeah. Okay.
And we have Tiferet?
In general, Yaakov is Tiferet. We have to have all of them. We have to have, sometimes we need Chesed, sometimes we need Gura, sometimes we need Tiferet. That's why we have all of them. Plus, yeah. Okay. Omer Rav Yechon Meshum Rav Shem Ben Yechoy. Ever since Hashem created the world, there was never any person who called Hashem Adon. People call Hashem by different names, but to say that Adon, that Hashem is the master of the world and he controls everything in it, nobody like realized that or nobody declared it until Avraham Akroy Adon, until Avraham Avinu came along and called Hashem Adon for the first time. Shinema, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Lechacha, Vayoma Adnai Bamo Eda Ki Iro Elakim, it's not in the Pasuk over there, Adnai Bamo Eda Ki Iro Shema. It says, Adnai, this is the first time the word Adnai is used, how will I know that I will inherit it? There's a verse that's brought on this, that this is why the beginning of morning davening, right after we finish Brachas, is Adon Olam. We want to invoke the S'chus of Avraham, who first called Hashem Adon, and therefore we begin the primary part of davening by addressing Hashem as Adon.
What did Adamarishan call
it? Adamarishan called Hashem Hashem, or Elikim, or whatever.
So why did Avraham call him?
Because Avraham realized a new conception, that not only Hashem created the world and continues running it, or whatever, but he's a master and controls everything that happens in it at any given time. And that we owe him obeisance like a slave does to his master. But it was a new thing that Abraham brought about. So the people should realize that people should bring a lakus into daily life. That was a new thing that Abraham began. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos, by the way, gets into a long discussion over here that actually a few psukim earlier, also in Parshas Lech, Abraham also used the word Adnai Elokim. So why does the Gemara not quote that pasuk? The gist of it is Tosfos says that the pesukim there are out of chronological order. We know that Avraham moved to Eretz Yisrael permanently when he was 75. Tosfos calculates over here that, on the other hand, we say Abraham was 70 at the bris when Absalom, because from then until Matan Torah was 430 years. And then Tosfos also explains that the war with the four kings, the war of the four kings against Sodom and Amorah, etc., where Abraham got involved and rescued Lot, Tosfos calculates based on Stukin that was in between when Abraham was 73. So the point is, therefore, so the first pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, where it says Adonai Elokim, chronologically it happened later. It happened when Abraham was 73. Whereas the next one, Vayema Adonai Bamoed Akir Hashana, which is the prelude to the Bris Ben Absalom, happened 3 years earlier when he was 70. So therefore, the Gemara brings that one first. Okay. Amar Rav after Neil Lenana El Bishvil Abraham. So Rav says you should know that even many, many years later, Daniel, when he's davening for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash in the end of the Golos, he was only answered in his tefillah in the S'chus of Avraham. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Daniel says in his tefillah, Ba'asa Shmael Akeinu Al-Tzilas Avdecha Bel-Tachmino, we say it in Rurachim on Monday and Thursday, and now Hashem listen to the tefillah of your servant, meaning Daniel, and to his pleas, V'hor Panecha Amitoshcha Hashamim, and shine your face on your desolate Beit HaMikdash, Laman Adonai, for the sake of Adonai. So what does that mean? Laman Chomi, by the way, you should say for your sake, because he's talking to Hashem. Ella, it means Laman Avraham Shekraha Oben. It means that Daniel is asking, answer my tefillah in the schos of Avraham, who was the first one to call you Oden, who was the first one to recognize that Allah, of course, is not just something up in Shemayim, but it belongs down here on earth.
Anyone who uses the... When it's mentioned in Tfilah, who says Avraham?
That's what I was just saying, that when we say Adon Olam every day, it's meant to evoke the S'chus of Avraham, who first called Hashem Adon. He started bringing down the Shekhinah lower. In fact, yes, within a month now before Yud Shvat, we know famously that the Maimon Bas of the Gani starts talking about that the Shekhinah was a Shtikah Shekhinah B'Tachtonim Hoisa, and then it was a result of the various sins of the generation that went higher and higher up. And Avraham was the first one in a chain of seven people who started bringing it down. So, yeah.
So that's
a very great thing. Yeah. But Amr of Yechon Meshum Rav Shem Yechoi, Minayin Shein Mirachon El Odom B'Shas Kaseh, the Gemara is repeating something that was said on Amr Aleph. How do we know that before the Gemara brought it as something Rav Yechon had said in the name of Rav Yosi, now the Gemara is bringing it as something that Rav Yechon had said in the name of Rav Shem Yechoi? So I guess he learned Mishum, by the way, doesn't mean that he learned it directly from him. Rav Shem Yechoi is a few generations before Rav Yechon, and it means that he heard it in his name. So I guess one time he heard it in the name of Rav Yosi and another time in the name of Rav Shem Yechoi. How do we know you're not supposed to appease a person while he's angry? Wait till he calms down. So to speak, Hashem says, my angry face will go away, and then I will accept your appeal.
So you learn the same thing.
From when Hashem created this world, there was never any person who thanked Hashem until Leah came and was the first one to express thanks to Hashem. Now she says, after Yehuda is born, I will thank Hashem. Meaning, the Marsha explains before that you have people who bless Hashem for things that happen to them or whatever. First of all, they don't use the word Hadah, where the word Hadah, among other things, is related to the word Moida, like to admit. Right? So the person admits that I depend completely on Hashem. They never use that expression. They always use some other expression, which if they did, then we don't find it in the Pasuk. She's the first one we find in the Pasuk that she expressed the idea of complete obeisance to Hashem, Hadah. And it means Meloshin Mitzvadra, Meloshin admitting, like confessing that the person depends completely on Hashem. And also, Marsha explained that up until then, you had a person, Hashem did a specific thing for a person, then the person thanks Hashem for it. Leah is the first one to express a general thanks for everything that Hashem had done for her. That
she was the first Jew, basically.
And I guess in that sense, yeah, because in fact, she named her son Yehuda as a result of this, and the Jewish people are called Yehuda. She named him Yehuda. No. Sometimes you have the mother, sometimes the father. Anyway, the problem is about Apam Oda is a Shemakin Kolosh Mayoda, therefore she named him Yehuda. Afterwards, Apam Oda, and the Jewish people are called Yehudim because that's our trait, is that we recognize that everything of ours depends on Hashem, and we acknowledge that. Okay. Since we're mentioning the meaning of the name Yehuda, the Gemara digresses a second to talk about the meanings of some other names. Reuven, we find that Leah called her firstborn Reuven. Why? So the pasuk says, she says, Ra Hashem Ba'oni. Because the pasuk is Vatikra Shema. But anyway, Vatikra means she called. The question is, though, what... Yaakov was involved, obviously, but the pasuk is particular. Anyway, the question is, if the pasuk says that she named him because Ra Hashem Ba'on, the word Reuben is not all that close to Ra Ba'on. So it means that there was a second layer of meaning in it. Omra B'Law, the Omra layer, it means layer is saying like this, Re'uma Ben B'ni Leben Chavi. Come and look at the difference between my son, the eventual difference, between my son and my father-in-law's son, meaning my brother-in-law, Esau. The Ilu Ben Chavi. Let's consider what happened with Esau. Now he willingly sold his firstborn rights to Yaakov, just to Vayimkar's Bakharot of Yaakov. Nevertheless, Chazumak Sibbe, look what happened afterwards. Vayistan Esav at Yaakov. It says that Esav hated Yaakov, Uchtiv, and a few spoken earlier, Vayim Achi Korashma Yaakov, Vayak Veni Zephamayim. After Yaakov took the bracha, Esav complains, isn't he properly called Yaakov? He treated me too, he took advantage of me two times, one with the Bechora and one with the brachas. So in other words, because the word okev and okva means like deceit. So he's saying like he was very appropriate in the name. He's a deceitful person. Twice already he's deceived me. So in other words, we see that even though he sold it willingly, he's still resentful about it. The Ibn Bni, but Leah is saying, compare with my son. Even though it was not by Reuben's choice, it was against Reuben's will that Yosef ended up taking the bechorah from Reuben. The pasuk says, when Reuben desecrated his father's bed, as we know, the Gemara says in Shabbos, move Yaakov's bed or whatever, Nitna b'chorot l'bnei Yosef, his b'chorot was given to the sons of Yosef, as we have in this week's parasha, that Yaakov said one of the Shavatim was going to have the distinction of being divided into two, and I'm giving that to you, Yosef. So it was taken, so Reuben didn't consent to it.
The Torah can be taken away and given to
After Matan Torah, no, but this is before Matan Torah. Nevertheless, we see that Reuben was not jealous of Yosef. As the passage says, Reuben heard that the brothers are going to kill Yosef, and he saved them from them. That was after the Bechorah had been taken away, right? So Leah is saying you can see the Reuben. See the difference between, that's the name Reuben. Marsha points out, by the way, Leah was between him and Esau. Yeah. Leah is not one of the Nevi'ahs. So we don't mean that she actually had an actual Nevu'ah over here. But we mean that she said a phrase, she called him Reuben, and Hashem put into her mouth the idea, she put into her mind the idea to call him Reuben because of the secondary meaning. Not that she's actually saying it outright, but that it turns out afterwards, after the events happen, we can realize that what she said in calling him Reuben was inspired by Hashem. Another one, Rus, another name we have in Tanakh is Rus, my Rus. Why is she called Rus? One of the questions is, usually when a person becomes a ger or a geirus, they usually change their name. Here, her name was Rus before and after she was in Gaia. Why'd she keep the same name? Amr Abichan, and she'll Zachta, because it means she had this chus, the Yosin, the man of David, that David descended from her, Shirivahu la Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he satisfied Hashem, so to speak, B'shiras v'tishbachas, with songs and praises. Rus Meloshin Riva, like to satisfy a person's thirst. I mean, Rava means like well-watered. Like he
could be also fight against.
No, that's Riv with a vein.
Riv
with a vein means to fight. Rivah with a vav, like Kosi Rivaya, my cup is overflowing. Yeah. So therefore, Rus is. The question
so
is.
Miloshin
Rava. Miloshin Rava, Miloshin overflowing. Okay. Menolon B'Shmogorim. The question is, all this, so we're mentioning Reuben, we're mentioning Rus. Who says that the name tells us anything about what the person's character is going to be like? A name is given, it's a random thing. Amar Rabbi Elazar, no. The Amakra, the Pasuk says, L'chu chazu mif'alois Hashem, come and see the deeds of Hashem, asher som shamos baris, that he placed shamos in the world. The simple meaning of shamos is destruction. But the Gemara is bothered by that. Why is the fact that Hashem is destroying things in the world, why is that a sign of Hashem, of Hashem's greatness? Al-tikri shamos ela shemos. So don't mean shamos, but rather shemos, that names have a very power, that in other words, how does Hashem accomplish things in the world, so to speak, through the person's name? Hashem arranges that the parents, there's a famous thing, that the parents have a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh when they name the child, and that therefore has a certain effect on the child's personality and what they accomplish and whatever. So that's how Hashem goes about accomplishing things in the world, through people's names. But Amar Rav Yechon v'Shem Rav Shimon Yechon, Koshet Targus Rav B'Tzeich Beisah Shel Adam Yosim Minuchamas Gogomogim. A badly raised child in a person's household, like a child who goes off the derech and does the wrong thing, whatever, is more difficult than the war of Gog and Magog. We know the war of Gog and Magog is a tremendously destructive war until Hashem finally punishes them, but this is even worse. Shenemar, because you have like this. In Tillim, Kapitel Gimel starts Mizmel David Bevochim Ipnei Avshalom Benoi, a song by David when he was running away from Avshalom, when Avshalom had seized the kingship and was threatening to kill David. The next passage, David starts like complaining, Hashem, how many are my enemies? So many stand up against me. So it's a very difficult situation. On the other hand, when it comes to the war of Gog and Magog, the previous capital Tillim, capital Beis, the Gemara explains is referring to the war of Gog and Magog, and Ksiv Loma Rog Shugoyim Umim Yagurik. It starts off. Why are the nations in tumult? Why are they making a tumult? Why are they so excited? Umim Yagurik, and the nations are speaking emptiness, and they're claiming we're going to fight against. The connection is like this, because the war of Gog and Magog is a war not just against the Jewish people, but so to speak against Hashem as well. Like they're intending to defeat Hashem. The evil Morab was sorry, like this. So you don't see David's not complaining over there, how many are my enemies? There's so many forces arrayed against us. So we see when it comes to the war of Gog and Magog, that it's not as bad, it's not as difficult to overcome as the problem of Targus Yisrael, the child who goes off the desk. That we see that when it comes to Avshalom, David has to say, well, how many, there are so many people arrayed against me, so Hashem, please help me, whereas by Gog and Magog, he doesn't need to say that. He's just saying what they're saying is rich, what they're saying is emptiness, and Hashem is going to punish them in Israel.
In other words, not each rebellion against Hashem is the same, one is...
Well, in other words, one idea is Targus Yisrael, we're talking about when it's within a person's own household, and it's his own child, is a much worse thing
than when it's
external forces. Since we're mentioning that capital, Mizmer LeDavid Bevochem Pnei Avshalom Benoi, what do you mean Mizmer LeDavid? What do you mean a song by David? Kinyan LeDavid Bevochem? Shouldn't it say a dirge by David? I mean, isn't it a sad thing that he's running away from his son? Amar Rav Shimon ben Avishalom, Moshe Lamar David Domer, you can draw an analogy as follows. Adam Sheyotza Olav Shtar Chayv. Imagine you have a person where an IOU comes out against him. He owes a large amount of money.
Appropriate name, Shimon ben Avishalom.
Maybe. Actually, on the side of it here, it brings from a Tosfos elsewhere that discusses that we can't say that his father's name is Avshalom, because Avshalom, having been a Rasha, you're not supposed to name after him. Although in modern Hebrew, they do a lot, but whatever. But therefore, his name must have been Avishalom. Moshe Lamar David, it's like a person who has an IOU come out against him, that he owes a lot of money. Before he pays it off, he's sad. After he pays it off, then he's happy, because he's rid of the debt. After David, the same thing we can say with David. After the story of Bathsheba, the Navi comes in and says to him in Hashem's name, that I'm going to raise up against you evil from your own household. In other words, somebody from your own household is going to rebel against you. So Haya Asif, the David is upset. Al Mashema Everday Mamzer, who, what if that might be an Eved, one of my slaves, what if that is a Mamzer, Dolechai is alive. They're not going to have any Rachmanis on me. They're just going to kill me outright. Shivan the Chazad Avshalom, who then when he saw that after all, it's Avshalom, his own son, in a way, Sameach, he was happy because he realized that Avshalom is not going to go and try to kill him outright. And in fact, you find in the Pesukim in Shmuel Beis, when it describes Avshalom's rebellion, it mentions that you have over there Pesukim that imply that Avshalom was not so quick to say, let's kill David. He wanted to usurp the throne, but when he was given advice by Achitophel, that would bring about that David would be killed right quick. Then he didn't just accept that advice off the bat. He asked for other advice, and he got other advice and whatever, because he himself, being a son after all, he thought had Rachmanis on his father. So therefore, David is happy that at least it's therefore Mizmor the David, that at least it's Avshalom, somebody who at least is prone to have Rachmanis on him. Okay.
I mean, who should have...
Mishmahachi, I'm a Mizmor, therefore he says Mizmor. You know, in other words, the point is,
of
course, and David did have Rachmanis and Avshalom, and when Avshalom was killed, David was deeply grieved about it. But the point is, the Gemara is saying over here, had it been, for example, one of David's slaves that rebelled against him, then there'd be no quarter given. Then there wouldn't even be. That's you know, he's given advice to kill David, he would have taken it right off the bat. So therefore, so Mishra Malchim a Mizmer, therefore he says Mizmer, because in a certain sense, he got off easy, that at least the person who's rebelling against him is somebody who's going to have Rahman or something. V'amr Rav Yechon Mishum Rav Shimon Yechai, mutu v'isgaris for Rishoyim ba'ol mazeh. You're allowed to provoke Rishoyim in this world. Shinema, oiz v'itori yahal, v'isgaris means to provoke them.
Yeah,
that
I understand that. Why not just get rid of them?
If you can get rid of them, fine. But in other words, you're allowed to provoke them. You're allowed to say, you're allowed to tell them outright you're wrong and whatever. Shenema, oiz v'torah yahalalu resha. As the Pasuk says, those who abandon Torah praise wickedness. The shomrei Torah is go to one. But those who keep the Torah provoke them and tell them outright you're wrong and. So the question is, Tanya Nami Hachi, in fact, we learn like that in a Braisa, Rav Destoy Rav Mosin Omer, Mutul is Garis for Rishoyim Ba'il Mazeh, you are allowed to provoke Rishoyim in this world, Shenema Ozve Tari Yahalu Resha Rabbeinu, same thing. The Imloch Shach Adam Loimer, if somebody whispers to you and says, how can you do that? Doesn't the Pasuk say, don't provoke the ones who do bad, don't be jealous on the ones who do evil? And then Tekane can also mean to be zealous against. So like, in other words, the Pasuk seems to be warning you that you shouldn't be provoked. It's coming to provoke them. Don't be angry at them. And so in other words, it sounds like you shouldn't be provoking them. You should try to stay away from them. So Emor Loi, so the Braisa says, tell such a person, Misha Libin Noisqoyim, okay, only somebody whose heart is beating within him, meaning he was afraid because he did Averis, and he's afraid, therefore, that he might not be on the level to do this, such a person will use that Pasuk. What is the real meaning of the pasuk for a person who's not, who doesn't have to worry about that? Altis chaba mereim means lias kimereim. The word altis chaba mereim means don't be tischar. Besides being meaning angry, can also mean to compete. Don't compete with the mereim means lias kimereim. Means don't compete to try to be like them. Altikane va'isa avla. Don't be jealous of those who do unrighteousness. Means lias ka'isa avla. Don't be jealous of, like, they're so successful, let me do the same thing. But it doesn't mean not to provoke them. It means not to try to be like them. Va'omer. And you have another pasuk that says al yikane libcha b'hatayim. Another pasuk in Mishlei expresses the same idea. Your heart should not be jealous of the people who do aveiros. Ki'im b'yiras Hashem. Kol hayom only in yiras Hashem all day. So we see from that, in other words, it can't mean don't argue with the Rishoyim, because then the end of the pasuk doesn't fit. It means don't be jealous of the Rishoyim. Look how successful they are. I'd like to be that way also. Rather realize that yiras Hashem is where it's all at. So therefore, so the Braisa is saying basically what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that you're allowed to provoke the Rishoyim, and if you have a person who's quoting that pasuk and tilim al tischa b'mereim, the real meaning of the pasuk is don't try to be like them. Okay. Still, the Gemara says, "Eini, is that so?" Well, Amr Yitzchok, Imra Isa Rasha Hashem Sachetet Loi. If you see a Rasha that the hour is smiling for him, in other words, he's having a very lucky period of time, he's being very fortunate in how things are going, Al Tisgara Loi, don't provoke him. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, another Pasuk can tell him, Yachilu Drach of the Halek. The Pasuk says his ways are always are being successful at all times. Yachilu, Rashi explains, means to be successful. Not only that, but this Rasha can even be successful in judgment. With Hashem's judgment, in other words, even Hashem judges him meaningly. That same pasuk in Tehillim continues, you exalted one, Hashem, mishpatecha minegdo, your judgments are far away from him. Minegdo means far away.
Meaning
Hashem doesn't punish him. V'loyod, Elisha roya b'tzorav. Not only that, a Rasha like that can even see the downfall of his enemies. Which usually should be which is exactly backwards. Shenema kol tzorav yadbiach behem. As the pasuk continues, that same pasuk continues, all of his enemies, he blows on them, like he blows on them and they just fall down. So in other words, the point is, sometimes you have a Rasha who's very successful, and if you try to start up with him, then you're gonna be the worst for it. So what are you, Rav Yochanan, telling us that you can go and then provoke them and start up with them, if here we're saying that not? The answer is loy kasha, haba milidishmaya. One case is talking about in your own personal affairs. The other is talking about in matters relating to Shemayim, matters relating to Torah and Mitzvah. When it comes to your personal affairs, if you see that the Rasha is being very successful, then stay away from him. Don't try to provoke him. Don't try to start up with him. But when we're talking about Milu Dishmaya, when we're talking about things involving Torah and Mitzvah, then you have to start up with him regardless, and tell him outright that he's wrong, The Iboyz Sema, another possibility, Hava Milu Dishmaya. Both cases can be talking about Milu Dishmaya, about things of Ruchnius. But like Kasha, it's still not a contradiction. Hava Rosh Hashem Tachetis Boy, Hava Rosh Hashem Tachetis Boy. It depends whether the Rasha is being particularly successful. If you see that it's a particularly successful time for the Rasha, then you should realize Hashem has his ways right now. Right now he's making him extra successful in order that his downfall will be all the greater, like we find with Haman, or whatever it is, whatever Hashem's calculations are exactly. At that time, you'd be well advised not to start up with him. But if it's not Hashem Tachetis Boy, then go ahead and start up with him.
How would you know?
You would know. You would see whether he's being unusually successful, like more successful than beyond derechatz. Another possibility is both cases, both sets of psukim, are talking about a rasha who's being very successful. But like kasha, habet tzadik gomer, habet tzadik sheini gomer. One is talking about a tzadik gomer, the other about a tzadik sheini gomer. Given that the tzadik gomer, we said on Amud Aleph, is a tzadik hatovoi, he has only good within him. Even as Yetzer Hara, he's turned into a second Yetzer Tov. So therefore, he has the power to get to go to stand up to again, even against the Russia, even when Shalom is affected. As opposed to a tzadik
as
a
Russian gomer.
Yeah. On the other hand, a tzadik gomer, given that he himself has some rot still left in him, then therefore it's dangerous to start up. Tzadik sheini gomer. The Amr of Huna, and we see that distinction, because in fact, Rav Huna says, my dechtiv, what does it mean? It says in a pasuk, lama tabit boivim, why Hashem do you look and not seem to care about boivim, the treacherous ones, the deceitful ones, tachush bevala rosh of tzaddik in you, you're quiet when the rosh swallows up somebody who's a greater tzaddik than him. So what does that mean? Chi rosh ha-bailei ha-tzaddik? What do you mean? Since when does a rosh swallow up a tzaddik? The pasuk says, Hashem will not leave the tzaddik in the Rosh's hands. And another pasuk says that if nothing bad happens to a tzaddik, Ella, no, nothing unfair, often means like unfairness. Ella, no, what the pasuk says is tzaddik mimenu, meaning tzaddik mimenu by right now. The Rosh may swallow up. Hashem may allow the Rosh the ability to swallow up somebody who's more tzaddik than him, and it was not a complete tzaddik. Tzadik Gomer, any belay. But if it's a complete tzadik, then Hashem won't.
But it's not fair, even if he's not a tzadik Gomer, to let the Russians.
No, because then you can have him. Because he's a tzadik Sheini Gomer, therefore, in other words, so, no, because therefore, in other words, says he needs whatever rise left in him to be cleaned up in this world, and therefore, so it'll be cleaned up in this world. The Russia needs to get a reward for whatever little mice and tov he has, for whatever little tov he has in this world, so he can get punished loylam abo. But as opposed to a tzadik Gomer, as Tzadik Gomer, there's no Ra left in him at all. Therefore, therefore, that's the point. So the Tzadik Gomer, is able to stand up against the Rasha and be safe, even if Shalom is a Chesed, well, according to this answer, because Hashem will protect him. Because since he's all Tov and there's no vestige of Ra left in him at all, then there's nothing within him that should be subjugated to the Rasha.
So by that line of reasoning, you always need to have a few tzaddik more in as well.
Indeed. That's how it is. There are tzaddik, yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah. Boy, you say, Masham is a chetes loy shiny. The last answer you can say is it's different when Shalom is a chetes loy. Maybe even a tzaddik gomer shouldn't be standing up to the Rasha. But when it's not Shalom is a chetes loy, when it's just the ordinary success. Shalom is a chetes loy literally means the hour smiling for him. But it means, in other words, that he has an unusual, unusual degree of success. So maybe then, in other words, that even then, the tzaddik gomer shouldn't be standing up to them. A person who sets up a permanent place for his davening, so we said before, he's a Talmud of Abraham, on the side of it, here it brings a different girsa, that it should be a Torah, for a particular place for his learning Torah. Anyway, Ovav Nofim Tachtav, his enemies will fall under him, his enemies will be subjugated to him. Shenema, the Samti Mokim La'ami of Israel, as the prophet says, I will make a place for my people, the Jewish nation, when it's captive, I will plant him, the Shochan Tachtav, they will dwell in their place, V'lo yugazo, they want us to tremble anymore. V'lo yisifu b'nei av lo la'anoyse kasha b'rishona, and then evil people will not be able to cause him pain like originally. So we see, in other words, that the Samti Mocha, Ma'ami Yisrael, you have a permanent place for being the Hashem's people, for davening or for learning, as the case may be, then you won't have B'nai Avla Va'anoitzid. And B'nai Avla, unrighteous people, will not be able to harm him, and they'll fall under him.
Yeah,
Avla means injustice.
Injustice.
So Rav Huna... Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna pointed out, speaking of this pasuk, you have a contradiction. This pasuk appears twice in Tanakh, in slightly different wording, in Sefer Shmuel and in Divrei Hayom. In Shmuel, when it says the pasuk, it said the end of it is that the Bnei Avla will not continue to pain him. And then when the pasuk is repeated in Divrei Hayomim, instead it says to destroy him, or levaloisei is actually how it says. When the pasuk means to wear him out. It means the various goyish and enemies and whatever, but why first to use the expression la'anoisei, to afflict him, and then levaloisei, which means to wear him out, so to wear him down. No, it's referring to the Jewish people. But why the difference? Originally, Hashem was promising that the Jewish, when the Beis Hamikdash was built, that the Jewish people will be living forever in Eretz Yisrael at peace, and the Goyim won't even be able to harass them. Eventually, after that didn't work out, and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the Jewish people were sent into Galus, at least Hashem promised that it won't be l'chaloisei. At least it won't be that the Goyim completely destroy or completely wear down the Jewish people. So therefore, the difference in Divrei Hayomim. It's greater to serve a Talmud Chacham more than just learning under him. Because by serving him, you learn from his midos, and you learn practical things of how to do and whatever. The Gemara all over the place mentions the idea that you have, for example, you have the learning Torah, and then the Shimusha Shal Torah, which is a much greater level. It says here is Elisha ben Shaphat who poured water on the hands of Eliyahu. Lama b'leinem. It doesn't say that he learned by Eliyahu. Well, Yosak, it says he poured water. So what Elisha is being distinguished for is that he poured water on Eliyahu's hands. So what? Because that is part of Limud HaTorah. There's Limud HaTorah, which is learning out of Sfarim. And that's a very important thing, learning by heart or whatever, and that's a very important thing. But then there's learning by observing what the Talmud Chacham does, what the Tzaddik does, and learning from that. You learn from him good midos, you learn from him proper rate, you learn from him the proper things to do and not to do in practical situations or whatever. So that's a higher level of Talmud Torah.